63 degrees in Atlantic. Looking for a slight chance of an isolated shower or two this afternoon, a high around 75. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In state news, Governor Branstad may be stepping in to ensure that dove hunters can get the lead shot out when the season opens in September. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson has this report.
Last year, the state commission that writes hunting rules decided to ban lead shot, which means dove hunters would have to use non-toxic steel shot. But earlier this year, the Iowa House voted to nullify that rule and allow lead shot during dove hunting season. The Senate adjourned Wednesday, though, without taking up the issue. Governor Branstad has asked his legal counsel to see what his options are.
Stay tuned. We're researching that.
In a conversation with reporters, Branstad would not speculate on whether he has the executive authority to override the Natural Resources Commission and allow lead ammunition for dove hunting season. The governor will make an announcement at 8:15 Friday morning, however. His staff confirms Branstad will be correcting a Senate failure, in their words, but they're not sharing how that will be done. I'm O.K. Henderson.
KJAN News, time is 8:02.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Governor Terry Branstad has named a senior counsel to West Des Moines-based insurer Aviva USA to the district court bench in Iowa's 5th Judicial District. Christopher McDonald of Des Moines will fill a vacancy created by the retirement of Judge Don Nickerson. McDonald was in private practice before his current post. He received his undergraduate degree from Grandview University in 1997 and his law degree from the University of Iowa in 2001. The 5th District covers 16 counties in central and southern Iowa, including Polk County. Now, one of the bills that sailed through the House and Senate in the closing days of the 2012 session seeks to halt the sales of so-called synthetic drugs. Senator Gene Frazee notes that last year the state banned sales of products like K2, salvia, and bath salts.
And I said at that point, we'll be back this year doing some more as long as we've got people wanting to use this stuff, and long as we've got people smart enough to change the formulas, it'll keep coming at us.
The new law would expand the list of chemical substances on the banned list to try and make it more difficult for manufacturers to make small changes in the chemical makeup of products to skirt the law. So-called synthetic drugs are sold as products like incense and bath salts with marketing that promises a high similar to marijuana. But serious side effects have been reported, and a few users have committed suicide. Senator Frazee suggests that adults need to do a better job of educating kids about the danger.
The only way we're ever going to get a handle on this thing is people are going to have to start working overtime, educating the kids and the young people. Don't use this stuff. It's poison. You don't know how much to take before it kills you.
The bill passed the House and Senate this week without a dissenting vote. It now goes to Governor Branstad for his approval. Branstad's wife, First Lady Chris Branstad, on Monday lent her support to a public relations campaign about the dangers of synthetic drugs. Iowa has suspended the license of a Des Moines pharmacist after an audit discovered a shortage of over 740,000 pills of the painkiller hydrocodone. The Iowa Board of Pharmacy filed a complaint listing 20 administrative charges against Mark Graziano, the owner and pharmacist at Bodder Pharmacy. The charges include failing to maintain adequate control over accountability for controlled substances, inadequate security in dispensing controlled substances, and quantities exceeding prescribed authorization. The audit is from January 2008 until mid-March. The board said during that time, the pharmacy received nearly 1.1 million hydrocodone tablets and dispensed 358,000. The rest were not accounted for in dispensing records. The board suspended Graziano's license indefinitely. A hearing is set for June the 26th. The pharmacy's co-owner declined to comment. The director of an Iowa City neighborhood center on trial for failing to report allegations of child sexual abuse said she didn't report the allegations to the Iowa Department of Human Services because she didn't believe them. Susan Freeman Murda told the Johnson County jury on Thursday that there was no child abuse and she's confident she never violated the law. Freeman Murda, director of the Broadway Neighborhood Center, is accused of not reporting allegations by a mother who suspected her daughter had been abused by a teacher. Freeman Murda said upon learning of the allegations from other staff that she launched her own investigation. She said she never believed that the teacher or anyone else ever abused the child. Police learned of the allegations when the mother went to authorities. Businesses in Iowa offering high-interest loans may soon see more restrictions at the local level. In Ames, the city council has approved an ordinance tightening restrictions on where payday lenders can locate. Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement is the group pushing for restrictions at both the state and local level on short-term lenders who charge interest rates as high as 400%. Adam Mason is Iowa CCI's state policy director.
It really limits the spread of this predatory product, this predatory payday loan product, limits the spread of it, and eventually, you know, if through attrition they close down, or eventually if we do win that 36% interest rate cap at the state house, we'll curb their practices altogether.
A new ordinance in Ames won't force existing lenders to close, but Mason says it effectively prevents any new payday lenders from opening outside this, or rather inside the city limits. Mason says such shops prey on low-income residents by clustering in one small area.
If you get one payday loan at a store, 2 weeks later you're supposed to pay it back. If you can't pay it back, you end up going to a different payday loan store to get enough money to pay back the first one. And that cycle continues until you're so far in debt you can't get out.
Des Moines, Clive, and Urbandale have already enacted similar restrictions to the one approved this week in Ames. Mason said Iowa City zoning regulators are working to draft their own proposal. Iowa CCI is lobbying state lawmakers to cap interest rates on the loans. Cedar Rapids' last call for flood buyout applicants has added more than 100 properties. The Gazette reports that 6 weeks ago, the city announced the buyout program would be ending. The owners of 111 residential and commercial properties responded, and this week the city council added them to the list. The buyouts are paid for by federal community development block grant money. A city official said the latest additions will bring the total of buyout properties to about 1,350, including 1,200 to 1,250 that were residential. The Cedar River swamped the city in 2008, covering 10 square miles. A man who once served as the mayor of Davenport and Scott County supervisor has been charged with second-degree theft. Pat Gibbs is alleged in court documents to have kept money from jewelry purchases made at the pawn shop between January and April. The value of the transactions was placed at more than $9,000. The 53-year-old former police officer, mayor, and supervisor was fingerprinted after an arrest warrant was issued on Tuesday. He and his attorney filed a written plea of not guilty in Scott County District Court. Gibbs was not booked into the jail, and he has not responded to requests for an interview. Gibbs was Davenport's mayor from 1992 to 1998 and a county supervisor from 1999 to 2003. Also in state news, authorities say a 7-year-old boy has been fatally injured in the crash of a 4-wheeler on an eastern Iowa farm. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office said the boy was driving the 4-wheeler when it rolled. He'd been using it while doing chores a little before 7:30 p.m. Thursday on a farm near Lamont. Authorities say the mother of Austin Reuter, that is, found him pinned under the 4-wheeler and called for help. The sheriff's office said Austin was taken to a Dubuque hospital where he was pronounced dead. In our national news headlines of this hour, two sisters have been released from a Mississippi hospital following their rescue from a kidnapper who authorities say killed their mother and older sister. Adam Mays shot himself in the head last night as law enforcement officers moved in to rescue 12-year-old Alexandria Bain and her 8-year-old sister, Kalia. Wholesale prices fell in April, reflecting a big decline in gas and energy costs, but outside that drop, inflation was tame. The Labor Department said the Producer Price Index, which measures the price changes before they reach the consumer, dropped 0.2% in April. It was the first decline since December and the biggest drop since October. Stock futures are heading lower today, led by the financial sector in the wake of huge losses at J.P. Morgan on trading bets gone wrong. Ripples from at least $2 billion in derivative losses revealed late yesterday by J.P. Morgan Chase & Company hit both European and Asian markets today. And the last volume of the CIA's papers on the failed 1961 Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba can remain classified. A federal judge in Washington said Volume 5 is a draft and not a finished product. The CIA has characterized it as full of recriminations against CIA officers who later criticized the operation. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements, Ava Pauline Scott, age 88, of Waukee and formerly of Dexter, died Tuesday at Lutheran Hospital in Des Moines. A celebration of life service for Ava Scott will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the Dexter United Methodist Church in Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has arrangements. Sherry Zeitlow, age 68, of Urbandale and formerly of the Avondale area, died May the 2nd at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Sherry Zeitlow will be held this afternoon at the Zion Lutheran Church in Des Moines, and again tomorrow morning at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Barbara Fries, age 78, of Anita, died Tuesday at the Colonial Manor in Anita. Funeral services for Barbara Fries will be held Saturday at 10:30 at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care in Anita has arrangements. And James Harlan Humans, a junior, age 86, of Elkhorn and formerly of Persia, died Wednesday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for James Humans, Jr. will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. John's Lutheran Church in Persia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. And that's a check of the news brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.